is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy. The Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, making remarks over these last days, restated what he said several times before in press remarks, in written remarks, certainly in summaries of the two-day meeting last week. I read from Barron's magazine. Continued interest rate increases will be appropriate. Disinflationary process has begun. However, January's blockbuster jobs report obliges the central bank to stay focused on the monthly data and make decisions one meeting at a time. I welcome Jim McTague, former Washington editor of Barron's magazine, to comment on Mr. Powell saying once again, stay the course, inflation must be solved, and it must be solved with raising interest rates. Our target is 2%. We're very far from it. The disinflationary process, that means inflation is coming down, is underway. But, Jim, a very good evening to you. Jerome Powell was Groundhog Day. He said the same thing he said before. Does the market believe him? Good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, John. Half the market believes him and half doesn't. I mean, it's this constant argument in the market. There's no agreement at all. Part of the investment community, the bears, see that inflation is stubborn and you really have to throttle the economy to beat this inflation out of it. So they, you know, they agree when Powell says that he has to continue to be tough in raising interest rates. And they say, see the final Fed hikes somewhere north of 5%. I've heard as high as 7%, which would be very painful to home buyers and consumers, to everybody. You know, you raise the cost of money, you raise the cost of living, you raise the cost of doing business, so everybody loses. On the other hand, the other side, people say the Fed doesn't realize that there's a delayed reaction to these interest rate hikes, that it's probably tightened too much. And there is disbelief in the strong job numbers from last month, where, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics survey found that the economy in January, after Christmas, created 517,000 jobs. People think there's a whole group of people who think that that number is bogus and that it will be restated downward, because every other indicator there is pointing in the opposite direction down. So there's the great division on Wall Street.
The puzzle, Jim, can you have a recession with employment this bounteous? Can you actually tell people they're in recession while they're working? Can you have a recession while people are taking the money they earn and spending it, consuming? Is that a recession?
Yeah, I don't see it, John, because that creates what we call a virtuous cycle. People work, they make money, they go out and spend it, and then they're supposedly creating more jobs because they're maintaining and increasing demand for other products. That's not a recession at all. I'm skeptical, though, again, about the jobs numbers. Mattel, the maker of Hot Wheels and Barbie, you know, America's favorite toys, had a dismal fourth quarter last year. I mean, their Christmas season was a disaster. The company made $16 million or 5 cents a share the last quarter of 2022. A year earlier in 2021, it made $225 million or 64 cents a share. So either the country is satiated with Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels, or consumers really pulled in their spending this year, and retailers were crushed. And this is why Wall Street is confused. When you see reports like this, it doesn't make sense that retail stores in January would be strong hirers. And yet the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that retailers added thousands and thousands of jobs in January after the Christmas season.
I have an explanation. It's a rationalization, but it's from the traders. You understand, they're always interested to make a pitch. It's called a rolling recession. Don't you love this, Jim? Therefore, it isn't one big thing. It moves from silo to silo, first housing, and then retail, and then hospitality, then mining, then on to trucking. Does that make sense? We're having a series of recessionary contractions, but not one great big one.
Yeah, this is a theory that when I was a stockbroker in the 80s at Merrill Lynch, there were two guys, Stan Salveson and Mike Arenstein, who came out with the same theory, that it was a rolling recession. And it not only did it roll through different industries, it actually rolled through different regions of the country. So the industrial Midwest was getting crushed at one point while the coasts were booming. So it's not only possible, but, you know, we've seen this movie before. So that would make sense.
We go from the monetary policy, Mr. Powell, when we talk about jobs number, perhaps to be revised, we'll understand this, to the market itself, because Mr. McTague has done us all the favor of identifying where we are in history from the midterm reelection of 2022 until the summer of 2023, when we can expect the presidential candidates to get organized. We have one candidate right now, Mr. Trump. We have another one expected momentarily, Nikki Haley. There will be others on the Republican side. And on the Democratic side, it is yet undetermined if there'll be the president reelection or whether there will be others stepping in for an empty seat. We don't know that yet. But, Jim, you have based your estimate of what the market can do on the basis of what it does in history. Where are you now in your bullish call?
It's the same. Traditionally, in most midterm years, close to 90% of midterm election years, the market rallies from October 1st, you know, the month before the election, into the summer, sometimes as far as December, although I don't think that'll happen this year. Since October 1st, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 15%. And the S&P 500 is up 14.5%. Nice returns. We've hit what the technical traders called resistance now. You know, the market is having a problem moving higher. And it's because there's uncertainty about, you know, whether the Fed has to tighten or not. But what, you know, I see a surprise. If those job numbers are revised downward next month, and as you know, those numbers are always revised either up or down. But if there's a downward revision, that'll be perceived as positive by the bulls on Wall Street, and then this rally will have more legs. If the number isn't revised, the rally might end earlier this midterm year than in past years.
Jim, 2% seems completely impossible this year. Do you think Mr. Powell will change that target to 4%? I have read that speculation.
I just don't know. I mean, he wouldn't say so, because when you battle inflation, inflationary psychology, the public's inflationary psychology is a major factor. You know, if people expect inflation to continue, they fuel inflation by running out and stocking up on supplies, thinking that they'll be more expensive in the future. And that creates an unvirtuous cycle. So I think he's going to play it pretty tough until he's sure that the public psychology is that inflation is beaten, the Fed has won, and prices will come down.
And the State of the Union.
Yeah, that was an aspirational utopia, that picture he painted there. I mean, it was really a feel-good speech. It reminded me of the Great Depression when Hollywood had Shirley Temple singing The Good Ship Lollipop. He essentially was singing his version of The Good Ship Lollipop. It had no impact on the markets.
Jim McTague, former Washington editor, Barron's Magazine, now a novelist. I'm John Batch.
Tech Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.